Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of 2 Timothy chapter 1, we were taught that God has a specific will for every Christian. And there are too many Christians that have no idea what His will is. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And walking in God's will for your life is an act of love, commitment, consecration, and especially it is thankfulness. But know that God has a specific ordained will for you. Now, I'm convinced that there are many who will never know this side of heaven the will of God, the things that God wanted them to do in this life. And then one day they will stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and find out that they were to be perhaps a missionary, an evangelist, a pastor, or some other thing of full-time service. But it also could be a lay person who was to be a bus worker, a Sunday school teacher, jail ministry, a rest home ministry. Maybe you're to establish a ministry in the community college or some other avenue of ministry through your local church. But you see, you did not really seek it carefully in prayer. You didn't really ask God and seek God till He impressed it on your heart exactly what He'd have you to do. Instead, you've had a heart predetermined what you would do or would not do for the Lord, what you wanted to do and would not do. And He knew that you would not serve Him in love, and you would not carry out the work in love. Henceforth, that person is unthankful in his service, seeing only the opposition of the devil through others. In short, his will is unrevealed because we did not have a heart of love, of consecration, and thankfulness. That person is ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, saved so as by fire. You see, this person is the person that does things that makes his religious flesh feel good about itself. See, we need dedicated people in the local church today. Dedication is simply the full surrender of all that we are and all that we have to Jesus Christ. It is the opened, unqualified delivery of ourselves to the ownership and use of Christ, both now and forever. The question arises, have we made a full dedication to God of that which already belongs to Him? Let's get it down. The self-life will not come to be crucified without a struggle. The writer of Galatians, the Holy Spirit says there that we are crucified with Christ. We all need the help of the Holy Spirit to bring such a dedication about. It is the final decision of the will. Dedication, my friend, is a definite act. It's not a half-felt desire, but a total determination of giving up all to Jesus Christ. Dedication, my friend, is a devoted act. We do not dedicate because we have to. We dedicate because we want to. If your love for Christ is real, you want to. Therefore, we do it willingly and eagerly. Dedication is a declaratory act. You say, what is a declaratory act? It is a declaration that Christ is totally able to deal with an un-Christ-like disposition that I may have, others may have towards me, and take me through it. My Christian friend, never rest until you know that you've surrendered all to Him. We don't want the testimony to the judgment seat of Christ that we didn't even know the will of God for our life and were saved so as by fire. The most thankful thing for which the apostle can be thankful, as he says in verse 3, I thank God, is that of the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Not only the call to be an apostle, but the promise of whom? Christ Jesus. Now that makes the question, does Jesus Christ break his promises? Again, no. 1,000 times no. Then let us see some promises for which you can be thankful today. John 6:37, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a great promise that is. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the promise that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. How about Romans 10:13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, God can not only forgive you of your sin, but he can take the power of it away, as he did with Paul. And if you come to him willing to leave your sin behind and trust your very life and being in his hand, he will not only save you from sin and his power, but he can make you a trophy of the grace of God and give you eternal life. And he can do that because of the death, burial, and resurrection that he had for you. Oh, I hope that if Jesus is not your Savior, that you'll let him become your Savior today. Paul's words not only said, thank God, but his life proved that he meant it. The Christian's challenge is to allow our life before God prove our true thankfulness. Now, the apostle thanked God for what the Lord had done for him. But now we see him thanking God for a dedicated man of God. Now, as I've read the 14 New Testament books of which the Holy Spirit dictated the words to Paul to write, I thank God because God would use only holy men to take this dictation. And that tells us this guy, who had been a murderer of Christians, this man, who had been a persecutor, was completely changed. So when one, as the apostle says, he thanks God for someone, then that's someone whose life has been used mightily of God in the life of the servant of God. Now, could a man of God give thanks for my life and the way I'm carrying out the will and commandments of God? Oh, I must ever be vigilant in love for Christ. Now, we show thanks to God for good men by our request for them. And we'll see how specific it is here. In verse 2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now he says to Timothy. Timothy's name actually meant worshiper of God. And Timothy lived up to the meaning of that name. Do you realize that worship has the idea in it of to fall down flat on your face, so to speak, laid out, stretched out, bowed down before the one to whom the worship is? In other words, it is a complete humbling of themselves. Timothy is a humble man. Now, he is not Paul's biological son, but he is his son in the ministry. And we will read of Timothy's mother and grandmother and their influence on Timothy's spiritual life. But all we read of his biological father is that he is a Greek, although his mother is a Jew. Now, we've seen in children who either have been adopted or in a home in which a mother remarried, and the second father is quite the father. He's not the biological donor that made him the offspring of his mother, but he is a dad who has loved him. It is 1,000 times better to be the spiritual father who nurtures children in the Word of God than to be the natural father who has no spiritual influence or guidance in the faith, morals, or the ethics of his son. What a blessing to take a young Christian, edify them, and commit to them those sacred things that they may teach others for the glory of God. By the way, that's a great responsibility upon all parents. That's a great responsibility on you who are Sunday school teachers. Many times you have children who do not have saved parents. We have many of you that know the name Daisy Mae Hawes, been dead for many, many years. I don't know how many years, but many years. But she was the lady, the Sunday school teacher that led a teenage boy by the name of Lee Robertson to Christ. Thousands of people came to Jesus Christ through the ministries of Lee Robertson. But there was a Sunday school teacher who cared, that took the great responsibility to teach others for God. Paul's request for this spiritual son is grace, mercy, and peace. This teaches us how to pray for those that we disciple and for the men of God who occupy in righteousness the ministering pulpit in your life. Now, it's interesting to note that in 1 and 2 Timothy, as well as in Titus, the apostle says grace, mercy, and peace, while in all other epistles he states only grace and peace. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ. Christ Jesus.